You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers come back from a 15-point halftime deficit to just absolutely demolish Maryland in the second half to win 83-78. The win pulls Indiana to 16-13 overall on the season, 8-10 in conference play, and for now, out of the Wednesday games in the Big Ten tournament. But more importantly, two wins in a row for the Hoosiers over Wisconsin and Maryland, showing that there is still a lot of fight in this team yet. Wow, what a performance. We are going to break it all down for you here on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Probably an abbreviated edition because, of course, the women are playing right now against Maryland. Mackenzie Holmes, Sarah Scalia's senior day. And so certainly, if you were interested in the women's basketball program, go watch them. You can listen to this on the podcast later. But doing the work, we'll have their own podcast coming up here in about 45 minutes. But in the meantime, let's talk about that win for the Indiana men. And we'll start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment, I'm going toward the end of the game. You know, Indiana built kind of that 12-point lead, and then Maryland chipped away at it. Jameer Young hits that three-pointer. Indiana calls timeout. It's 77-72. And what happened next over the next two possessions was that seniors stepped up and won the game, secured the game for Indiana, specifically senior guards. And this is, you know, these kinds of plays are what has been missing for this Indiana team. And it's what you have to build into your roster to help complement the superstars. But at 77-72, what happens? Maryland has the ball out of bounds. Anthony Leal is doing a great job of bodying up and trying to deny Dante Scott the pass that they want to throw to him in the middle of the lane. Jameer Young, you know, kind of tries to do a little pump fake. Trey Galloway doesn't really bite on it, ends up getting a deflection and a steal. Just a great kind of two-man defensive play by those two guys, Leal and Trey Galloway, doing the little things. And then what happens as Indiana takes the ball down? Xavier Johnson drives and scores, then comes back on the other possession to get a steal, and it basically felt like the game was over right there. And man, I was just so happy seeing Xavier Johnson, who has been through so much, knowing he had a whole bunch of family members there and how much he wanted to have a good game, and for him to contribute so much to winning was just really, really rewarding to watch. But Trey, Anthony Leal, Xavier Johnson, of course, we'll talk about Khalil and his big plays and the incredible performance from Mackenzie Mbako, everything Malik Renew did. But on the road in Big Ten play, it's your senior guards that have to step up at the end and win. And that's what Indiana's players did. Those guys have played a lot of college basketball, and they showed it there at the end of that game to ice it away for the Hoosiers. All right, now let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their seventh season sponsoring the Assembly Call, and the third as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And ladies and gentlemen, Home Field Magic, alive and well right now. Went to the Indiana baseball game yesterday in Frisco wearing my Mackenzie Holmes Home Field Apparel shirt, because it is Mackenzie Holmes weekend here as she is playing her last home game. The baseball team came back from a big deficit and won. The men's basketball team came back from a big deficit and won. Let's get Home Field Magic going. Who knows where this can carry us here down the stretch of this basketball season for both teams. But Home Field has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere. And since IU is their flagship school, you know you're going to get more high-quality gear with unique IU logos that tell the great story of Indiana's past from our friends at Home Field. And they've got a really special, you know, kind of March thing going right now where they're releasing a whole bunch of new items that are basketball related. There's jerseys and shooting shirts, which a lot of times I see heads up, you know, Connor will, you know, send us little heads up. I have not seen these. I don't know what that is, but I know I'm excited to check them out. But go check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use our promo code HOME23. You'll get 15% off your first order. But whether you're shopping for yourself, for another IU fan in your life, or for anybody who's interested in college athletics, Home Field is the place to go. They have something for everyone. They have almost every school that you can imagine there. The website, homefieldapparel.com. Follow them on Twitter. Get on the email list. Get on their app. Make sure that you get alerts when new stuff comes out so that you don't miss out on it. Again, homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And, guys, I'm going to have to lean on you. As you know, I didn't get to watch the full game. I did get to watch about the last 10 to 12 minutes, which, from the reports I was getting, seems like the best time to have jumped in to this
you
game.
You did it the right way.
apparently that was the right way to do it. But, Coach, let's go to you, Tonsoni time. What's on your mind after this Indiana comeback?
One, it's nice to talk after wins, and having two wins in a row, it's really good, and a credit to those players. They do seem a little more relaxed and played in the last couple of games. But the key is really you're down 10 at halftime, but Indiana hit threes and got out in transition in the threes to stay in the game. They were very, very poor defensively in the first half. But the name of the game today was transition, transition, transition. Xavier Johnson did a good job of pushing the ball up and getting easy baskets and getting the flow going. Shooting the three ball, Mbako was catching and ready to shoot all night long. He wasn't hesitant. He wasn't just looking to drive the basketball. Leo has a three. Cups has a three in the first half. Guards and transition basketball won this game, and we've been saying that all year long. And it's nice to have post players. And when you go to them, like Ware got going at the very end, got 9 points. But Ware was just totally struggle bust the first half. And then Renew, you know, got kicked somewhere where we all don't like to get kicked. And he is out for 8 minutes.
Ooh, really?
Right?
I missed that.
Yeah, and he's out for 8 minutes.
He took a knee, right?
Yeah. So our best players, our best dominant scorers weren't scoring. And we're down 10, and it's frustrating. But we did things that we normally don't do, and it's some stuff that people have been calling for, and at least kept us in a game. If we hadn't hunted those three-point shots, if we hadn't pushed the ball in transition in the first half, we could have been down 20 the way Indiana was playing if we totally just kept trying to get in the post. So that was really good to see, and it continued in the second half, and Mbako just absolutely, I think, was the star of the game because his shots were so big and then his aggressiveness driving the basketball. And obviously, you know, his defense and all that, we can talk about that later, but really happy for that young man to have a struggling first half, fumbled the ball, turnovers, and then hitting shots. But again, it is style of basketball. These kids played and they played loose, and that's two games in a row where it seems like the pressure has been taken off these guys one way or the other. And why that is, let's keep doing it because you got at least three games left. It's better to play that way than to play tight and in one way all the time. It's better basketball, and that's why Indiana was able to win. It was a good matchup. It really was because Maryland's got to score inside. They did in the first half. But it's an easier matchup, and Indiana beat Maryland twice, and that's why. But you got to take care of your matchups, and Indiana was down 15 or 16 at one point. So good game. Good all-around game for the Hoosiers.
Ryan?
Yeah, it's just to clarify, you said they were down 10 at the half, or 15 at the half. It was 10, and then it went to 16 at the 7:51 mark. And then by the 8:51 mark, exactly 9 minutes later, was the last time that Maryland held the lead. So in 9 minutes, they came all the way back. But today, it was for me, it was all about McKenzie Mbako. Look, you won a road game. You got to be happy about that. I know Maryland's terrible. Kevin Willard might be the worst coach in the conference. I was wrong when he got hired by Maryland. He won at Seton Hall, and that's a really tough place to win. It turns out he was just really good. He was just good at Seton Hall. I mean, the last 90 seconds to not just be fouling Indiana constantly the way they shoot free throws and try and play it out. Like, what are you doing? So anyway, but it was a great job by Indiana. Winning on the road in the Big Ten, no matter who you're playing, is difficult, as we've seen over the years. And to come out and do this, especially to get down as big as they were, had a 15-0 run at one point. Just my advice to Indiana, how about don't get down by 16? Let's try that. And then maybe this is a 12-point win.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Against everybody, right?
You cannot do that against everybody. Yeah. But no, I think that the win against Wisconsin is a legitimately great win. And then anytime you win on the road, the Big Ten, it's a good win. So back-to-back good wins for Indiana. And I got to say, we've been talking we haven't really focused on it too much. We've kind of mentioned like McKenzie Mbako's growth over the length of the season. And just, I think getting comfortable at this level is becoming very apparent. I don't think it's a skill development thing. I don't think it's anything really changing in his game. I think he's just comfortable and he recognizes that he can do the things he did in high school and on the travel circuit in college as well. And he's starting to get comfortable and gain that confidence. And you're seeing it today. I mean, he was the MVP of the game for me, 24 points the road in a Big Ten game. That kid is just super confident. He moves better defensively. He's not a great defender. I don't think he'll ever be a great defender, but he moves better. He's at least involved. He'll block out and chase. He was blocking out and chasing rebounds. He only grabbed two today, but he was in it for a few of them. He was on the offensive glass too, trying to knock the ball around and things like that. I loved what I saw from him today in 34 minutes, and I think that he was the difference in the game for Indiana because I didn't think Maryland had anybody to counter him on the wing. You know, you had a point guard and a post for them. And that's really it. And nobody to counter that wing scoring that he provided. So Kenzie Mbaka was a story of the game for me today.
When that 4-point play that he had when it was 66-62 was huge. I mean, that brought Indiana within two and just really felt like a huge momentum shift in the game.
He's not thinking much anymore. He's just playing, and his natural ability is coming out, and it's really good to see.
And we know how much natural ability he has. So when that starts to come out, it's apparent. And honestly, him doing that in front of 14 NBA scouts today is going to be very good for his future, frankly.
Not bad. I mean, he scored like an NBA player tonight.
Yes.
You know, we've talked about how impressed we've been with the driving. And, you know, just getting inside, getting more free throws, you know, and just how committed he's been to that. You know, and today he spearheaded a solid 3-point shooting effort. Again, this is not going to be, you know, the 2016 Indiana Hoosiers that are hitting 16, 17, 18 3-pointers in a game. But when you can go 7 of 16 as Indiana, especially against a team in Maryland that doesn't shoot it very well, and you go 14 of 17 from the free throw line, I mean, Coach, a little inside the numbers here early. When you make shots, the game is easier, you know, and that was the big thing for Indiana in the second half. You know, I was listening to Fish for a little while, and at one point they'd made 10 or 11 or 12 straight shots in the second half, which is just something that we haven't seen so much from these guys. But I think you guys are right. They do seem a little bit more relaxed, whatever it is, you know, and whether that's, hey, Xavier Johnson's back, we kind of got all of our pieces here, you know, he helps provide a little bit of depth so that everybody is a little bit fresher at the end. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe just coming up to the end of the season and saying, screw it, let's just go play ball. Like, what do you attribute that, Coach, as you're watching this? Because this does, over the last 80 minutes, this now looks like, again, there have been ups and downs. Like, it hasn't been perfect all the way through. But this Indiana team now looks like one that no one's going to want to play in the Big Ten tournament if they keep playing like this. And, you know, just making plays when you have to make them to win games, which is what we hadn't seen.
I wouldn't go that far. We did get down 16. We did get down 16 at Ohio State, two teams that are going to be playing on Wednesday night. So I don't know that we're putting fear into anybody that's any good in the Big Ten tournament. But they're playing basketball. And when you do get down, you just let it go. You know, what's going to happen? We take a shot and miss. We're going to lose by 20. You play better once the pressure's off. And I think this team plays better when they're down 16 because they're not trying to force the ball inside as much, and they're just getting out and going. And it happened at Ohio State. It happened here today on the road, and it's happening at the back end of the season when you're 14 and 13 and you know you're not going anywhere, go play. Now, that should have been happening in November. Whatever the reason, whether it's the players putting on enough pressure on themselves or the locker room or the coach, whatever people want to say, they weren't playing with this kind of freedom most of the season. They've just been doing it when they get down, they spurt, and they play in spurts. And Coach Woodson has said it, they play well and then they don't play well. And usually it's start of halves and then they falter. And now recently it's been getting down for a half. It's just the inconsistency, that mental toughness is not there to play 40 minutes. And in these games against Ohio State and Maryland, they've had enough, helped by the other team as well, but they've had enough talent and ability and shot making to overcome some of those things and get a few wins.
Yeah, I mean, the Ohio State game, to be fair, was right before they fired their coach. So who knows if they're in a good position if that happens. You still have to go out and win the game, and Indiana did. And again, today, I tweeted out, does Kevin Willard even make it to midseason next year? But they went out and they won the game. And that's not like there aren't talented players on those teams that can do things. And they were able to shut it down. I think the defense tightened up in the second half was a big part of it for Indiana. And the other thing, they stopped turning the ball over on what felt like every possession. I mean, you know, the first half, it had 9 turnovers. I could have sworn it was 12 or 13 because they were so loose with the ball, even on offensive sets where they didn't lose the ball. You know, the guy would be dribbling, the ball bounced 3 feet from him. He's got to run over. The passes weren't crisp, things like that. And it's let, even when you don't turn it over, that gets your offense out of rhythm. You basically got to reset when you lose the ball like that on a reversal or something like that. So it's almost the same as a turnover. So that changed in the second half. You only had 5 turnovers. Now there were still some scramble situations with the ball where you're not, you know, as crisp as you want to be. That kind of stuff you do expect on the road, but you can't be giving the other team the ball as much as Indiana did. And in the second half, I think Maryland actually had more turnovers than they did in the second half. I think it was 7-5 or something like that. I'm not sure the exact number, but, you know, so tightening that up changed the game. It mostly, and what happened in that first half, even to start the game, they were loose with it. They were able to get a lead, but as the half wore on, that you stop getting away with it because the other team settles into the game, and that's what happened to help Maryland go on that big run.
And you start getting confidence when you get out on fast breaks. You get stops and steals.
Easy
and you
baskets.
Get out on fast breaks. And that's where X was really good tonight. He threw that ball up ahead. And you had 3 or 4 times when we scored because of the flip ahead from X. And he was just pinpoint hitting people and putting them in position. Now you feel the game. Now you hit a transition 3. Now maybe your half court sets are a little bit better. And I actually thought Indiana started taking the air out of the ball a little too soon.
I thought the same thing.
Three
empty possessions. Attacking, and then
Indiana's better when they're on the run, hunting shots, and that even
North
opens up
south.
The post then.
Yeah,
because then all of a sudden now you got a guard, and now you got the lob action, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we've been clamoring for that kind of play all year long. If you go to the post, and only play off of that, it's not as good as when you get out and run and get layups on transition and 3. Yes. And that's what happened today. And all of a sudden, then Renew comes back in, scores, and Ware scores in the second half after the guards were so potent because of pace.
Yeah.
Pace, Coach, pace, pace. And half-court sets, you know, were all right. But the transition, I think, was the reason they won tonight.
Well, Coach, you're a former coach. If your best player is struggling, you'd run something to get him an easy basket, right? To get him locked into the game. Transition, free throws, layups will get you locked into a game. Because transition, you're out by yourself. You can make it. Everyone knows how to finish on the – I mean, well, most people know how to finish on the break. Free throw, you're just by yourself. It's an easy free point, typically. So for some teams.
It's been real easy for this team all year.
backdoor layup, something like that, uncontested, gets you feeling into the flow of the game, raises your confidence. Once you start doing that, it's easier to lock in because you feel like, okay, now I'm in the game. I've seen a ball go through the hoop. I'm in the game. And
you're not pressing to just
you're
not have
pressing
a goose
to
egg,
get,
you know?
Yeah, you're not pressing to force something to go through the hoop. Like, it's easy. And so that's what you do as a coach. You get them an easy basket, hope they get into the rhythm. Transition does that for this team. I think the lobs do that for this team as well. Khalil Ware, how'd he get going? They started feeding him a little bit over the top, you know, and you saw, you know, that huge dunk by Galloway. I think that helped Ware on, but that huge lob he got from Galloway really late helped him on both ends towards down the stretch as well, I thought.
But think about this. Gabe Cupps hits a pull-up 2 that was really fading back. Then he gets a 3. He caught and ready to shoot and hits a 3. Leo, ready to shoot, hits a 3. X comes in, gets a pull-up jumper and a 3. They were ready to shoot. And then Mbako in the second half, ready to shoot. We have not seen that. We had seen catch on the three-point line and stare inside or catch on the three-point line and call someone out for a ball screen action. We haven't seen that. And so I don't think Cupps had a great game, but he got us off to a good start. And then X comes in like, the point guard position in the first half kept us alive with their play, but they were playing basketball today in a variety of ways instead of just ball screen and post, and they were able to come back against Maryland and win. I just think it's that simple.
Man, maybe X should have transferred to Maryland because now he's had 2 games at the Xfinity Center, and they've been, I don't know, 2 of his 10 or 15 best games in the Big Ten. I mean, today he scores 13 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 6 assists, you know, missed that 1 free throw, but then knocked down 2 more after that, played 31 minutes, had a big steal. I mean, he was terrific today. And you can tell he's not all the way there. But the other thing is, Coach, you know, because there was a little bit more transition, it wasn't all the set half court. At least in the time I was able to watch, it felt like he was able to get to the lane and do more of his, you know, more of his X things because it wasn't quite as clogged, you know, because the defense wasn't quite as set. And that's a really good defense. Like, just to give you context, I mean, that Maryland defense was top 10 in adjusted defensive efficiency coming in, and Indiana puts up 1.22 points per possession on them. So I would like to think that this performance today can put to rest the silly discussion of, is this team better with X or are they not? Of course they are. Even with all of X's ups and downs, this team is much better with him. And that's a big part of the reason why they've won two games in a row. He didn't play well against Wisconsin, but he helps the depth. He helps take on, you know, defensive assignments. He gets to guard Jameer Young some, you know, while he's out there. And that matters. So, you know, last comment here before we break, Coach, just your thoughts on this performance today from Xavier Johnson.
Oh, I thought he was really, really good. And we know when we get good X, the team is better. There's no doubt. He just has not demonstrated in the 3 years that he could play four games in a row of good X or five games in a row. Maybe the Big Ten tournament there in his first year. You can go back, but he's been up and down. And I know part of that's been injuries, but the bottom line, he's been up and down. It's hard to come back from an injury and get started again. And so now this was his second game back, and you're starting to see some of that. But we've also seen him take himself out of games too. So tonight, I thought he was really a big reason, other than Mbako and Galloway, probably one and two for me. But X was right there. I mean, this was what X could have done for 3 years, but injuries have taken that away. And he's just had a struggle with inconsistency, which has been what has happened with Indiana basketball under Mike Woodson, has been inconsistency from game to game. It's been inconsistency within a game. And they just played outstanding basketball in the second half to overcome the struggles of the first half. But X was good today. It was really good.
Yeah. You know, and there's something, Ryan. I mean, obviously, you know, when he's in Maryland, he's closer to home. He's got people there. He's able to, it seems like he's able to lock into this kind of extra level of focus. There aren't any of the extracurricular stuff. He's just balling. He's just hooping. When he does that, he can be such a good player, yep. You know? And I think that's what's been frustrating about the Xavier Johnson experience is you see games like today and it's like, man, you know, like this is what it could be. But
it almost makes it more disappointing because you know what the potential is. And look, yeah. This is the third year of Xavier Johnson and this is who he's been all 3 years. He'll have a game where he wins you the game, or he is a huge part of the reason you win the game. And then he'll have three games where you're like, what is that? Like, you're overly fouling, arguing with officials, you know, you get a flagrant foul, the things where you're just like, dude, just cut that out of your game. Like, it's mental. It's not a physical problem. I mean, if you play and you go one of five from the field or something like that and have a turnover or two, but you're playing hard and you're focused on the floor, I'm fine with that. You're trying, you're putting it in there. But what always derailed Xavier is the other stuff, talking trash to the other team, which guys do, that's fine. But when it becomes your focus, yelling at, like getting in arguments with officials, overreacting to calls, you know, stuff like that distracts him and takes him out of the game. On one end, you know, missing a layup and then going back down and fouling a guy because you're trying to get the ball back to make up for the fact that but there are games where he doesn't do that. I mean, today, did you see him be distracted at all? No, it was about playing. It was about the on the court. It was about attacking. It was about doing the things he knows he can do. And that's been the problem about the 3 years is when you've seen this, we saw that run in the Big Ten tournament in Mike Woodson's first year. Xavier was great in that. You know, you got you always knew Trace was going to be great. He went superhuman. Then he got Xavier playing well, and you had Galloway and Geronimo at that point picking him up as well. I mean, when you get that contribution from him as the point guard, he gets other people involved as well. And so I think that's what's been so frustrating because I've had people telling me like, well, if they had Xavier all season, they'd be, you know, in the tournament or they'd be in contention. It's like, we don't know that. I think they'd be a better team and they'd certainly be better defensively. But you don't know what you're getting from him. And I think that's what's frustrating. He was fantastic today and he deserves the plaudits for that. I hope maybe he's found something coming off of this injury and can sort of refocus himself, because when he is this guy, Indiana can compete with people. It's very obvious. I think, again, that's where the frustration comes from. If he just wasn't that good, you can't be frustrated about it because it's just, okay, well, he's playing to his top ability. It's that he doesn't lock in like this. If he can the last two games, and then they can go to the Big Ten tournament and run some, maybe the narrative looks different for this team, but can he do that? I really hope so. I do. I like when he succeeds. I like watching him succeed. He's a fun player to watch. So I guess that's where I am with it. It's today was great. I want to see more. I really do.
And look, sometimes the end of a guy's career coming into focus, you know, nearing on the horizon, allows them to kind of lock in to that extra level of focus because it's your last few opportunities, you know. And he talked about it in his media availability, got emotional, you know, talking about it, going home to Maryland and, you know, the end of his career coming up. And maybe that's what we'll see down the stretch. If we do, and if it's anything like today, it'll be huge for this team. Because he's a huge difference maker. We all know that. Go to assemblycall.com. Make sure that you subscribe to our email newsletter over there on Substack. We have a free email newsletter where we email you every Sunday the 6 most important stories in Indiana men's and women's basketball. Go check that out. There's a paid option as well that you can research too. But as we continue our breakdown here of Indiana's 5-point victory over Maryland, we'll point out some meaningful moments you might have missed. Go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game, and more. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. You are listening to The Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with the coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips, and we are celebrating Indiana's 5-point win over Maryland, the second straight victory for the Hoosiers, a road win for the Hoosiers. Just an excellent comeback, a fun day of basketball. For Indiana, as the women's game with Maryland winds down as well. And we'll have an episode of Doing the Work coming up here in just a bit. But for now, it is the top of segment 2, and so you know what that means. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. That's right. Meaningful moments you might have missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. Coach, I'm going to lean on you guys for this one since I didn't get to see a lot of the game. But the one that I do want to point out, and this was going to be the banner moment for a while, and Ryan, this may have been the moment that you referenced earlier, the lob to Khalil Ware. I think it put Indiana up 8. With Trey Galloway threw a great lob to Khalil Ware. He dunked it. But what I thought was meaningful was what happened after that play. As they showed Khalil running down the court, as they showed Trey backpedaling after the pass, there was some confidence and some happiness and some joy on their faces. You kind of saw Khalil, he kind of shook his head a little bit, you know, like, they can't guard me. You know, Trey kind of pumping his fist a little bit with some confidence and some conviction. It's those little things that we often haven't seen from this team, especially on the road, especially in tight games. But they played, at least the part of the game that I watched, Indiana was playing with a swagger. And it was kind of nice to see. They looked confident. They looked together. There was, you know, some enthusiasm together. And, you know, look, what comes first? Does that come first and the good play comes? Does the good play come and that comes? I think it's all mixed in there together. But there's something about, you know, Coach, you talked about it earlier. They get down, they throw caution to the wind, they just start playing ball. And that's what it looked like to me. And it was nice to see, because I think that's been a big part of the frustration with watching this team, is it's like you're playing basketball. Like, let's look like you're having fun together. Let's look like you have some confidence. And today, for the time I watched, they sure looked like they did.
Well, the part you didn't watch was complete opposite. they were not locked in. They were not confident. They it didn't look like it was bad in the first half, I thought. You know, and I don't want to focus on that. But as good as the 12 minutes that you watched and when Indiana came back, it was equally as just gut-wrenching to watch getting down 15. And no emotion and no fight. I was going to say my meaningful moment was hands down on closeouts. Maryland doesn't shoot the ball well, but they had a clear shot in the first half. And obviously that changed enough for Indiana to win. That's the positive. It changed their intensity on defense and so forth, turning Maryland over several times in a row. You know, some maybe would argue that Maryland collapsed or whatever else, but you gotta give credit to Indiana that they changed. But They can't play that way. It was the Ohio State first half. It was the first half was really a sad half, other than hitting some three pointers and what I thought was the guard play. But yeah, I thought just the opposite of what you said in the first half. That's the concerning part. If this team plays, like you said, free and with confidence and with energy and with joy of the game, then their individual talents can collectively go together and play good basketball. And we've seen it at Ohio State. We've seen it in the second half at Wisconsin. We've seen it. But you can't just play 20, 24 minutes and expect to win two more games the regular season and four games in the Big Ten tournament, which are what you're going to need to go to the NCAA tournament. We haven't seen it all year long. We've seen enough in the last couple of games to win a few of these things, but that's gotta change, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you have to look at who they're beating, and that too. And it's like, it's a baby step. It's a positive move toward the best win they've had this year is Wisconsin. I don't think that's right. A question for anybody. But other than that, they beat Iowa, Minnesota, and then they beat Ohio State twice, Maryland twice. They beat Michigan.
Maybe an NCAA tournament team,
and that's absolutely true. And they're going to get a chance to play them, you know, at the barn, and we'll see how that goes. But those teams,
the bracketologist is shaking his head at me.
Other than Wisconsin and I guess Iowa, you would say those teams are all in the bottom, you know, either the middle or the bottom half of the Big Ten. And so you have to be realistic about what's going on here. Now, continue to beat the teams you should beat. I mean, that's not a bad thing. Going on the road and beating Ohio State. Hey, you beat Ohio State. Going on the road and beating Maryland. Hey, it's a road win. Those are good things. I mean, the idea in the Big Ten is to win all your home games and then pick off the teams you're supposed to beat on the road. That's and you'll end up with a really good record. Like, that's the goal. And so they did that. And they've done that against those two teams, and that's great. You sweep both those teams. You're definitely could be in a situation where you need the tiebreaker on them to get out of that, you know, to get a bye and all that stuff. Good. You took care of business. But you have to also recognize that the way they are playing is not sustainable against the better teams in the league. You get down 16 against, I don't know, maybe even Michigan State. We don't know what Michigan State is. They're all over the place, but that's a very talented team. They're going to be difficult to dig out of 16 points from. You know, against Nebraska, Northwestern, Illinois, Purdue, you're losing those games. And so you cannot put yourself in those holes consistently. You're walking a tightrope and you're just asking to be knocked off of it. And so that's the concern of this game is getting down that far to a team that is not good and not well coached. You can't do that. You're putting yourself in a hole, and then maybe this is a degree of difficulty team, as Coach was saying, where you get down by that much. All right, who cares? Let's just go play, and it works out for you. Well, find that attitude earlier in the game, please, just for your own sake of having to work so hard to come back, and you know, for ours, for shortening our lives with those performances. But so I just think we have to be realistic about what's going on. Now, maybe these two back-to-back wins get you in a place where you're sort of like, okay, we've got some confidence to carry through. Let's, you know, sort of play more free as we move forward. Maybe that's the effect coming of this. I would hope so. I mean, I hate doing this show after losses. I love coming on here after a win where we've got, we can be realistic and have some negative points to talk about getting behind 16 to Maryland and all that. But the good stuff outweighs it. I love seeing a guy like Trey Galloway in his senior year going off like this and Xavier Johnson. Like, this is fun. It's way more fun. So please, I just pray that this team is figuring something out. You got a chance to finish 500 in the Big Ten. if you just went out, you know, win these last two games that are both winnable games, win them, finish at 500. You feel better about yourself going into the Big Ten tournament. And then all the pressure's off because nobody expected that from you.
And look, a lot of this is contextual, right? I mean, we're really happy. And this seemed like a really big win for Indiana because of how the season has gone. You're trying to meet the team where it's at right now. If this was an Indiana team that was competing for, you know, a 4 or 5 seed coach that we were looking at making a big tournament run, we'd probably be lingering more on the things that went poorly in this game as harbingers of, hey, this could really hurt Indiana coming up. We kind of reach this point in the season where it's like, okay, there's 4 games left in the regular season. There's a Big Ten tournament. We could lose out. You know, that was kind of the feeling heading into this. And so you come into it with a different mentality. And so you know, you guys have done a good job explaining that. But I will, in the future, I think I really want to try to do this thing where I miss all the bad parts of the game and then just show up and watch the good stuff, because it's a much more enjoyable way to be. I guess I have to go back and watch the first 20 minutes later on tonight.
Don't. Just stay with your level of enjoyment. I have to at least see it. It was so happy. It was so much better.
All right, what other meaningful moments stood out to you guys?
Jared, I was muted. When you watch it like sped up and just put some like carnival music on in the background. It'll make it way more entertaining.
Yakety sax.
Yeah.
Yeah. The meaningful moment is, you know, I do think Indiana's running better stuff now towards the end. And it pains me that it wasn't done earlier. The double ball screen to the strong side is a really nice action because you have a couple shooters or at least a couple threats on the strong side, and you now mess with the tag guy. If the tag guy goes with the three-point shooter, you have the lob, and that was that big play. They didn't know how to tag that because there was only one guy on the weak side coverage. I thought that was good. I thought it was really good. The cross-screen X got the the foul on. Should have been a basket for Ware. But again, Ware had been struggling. Even at the 13:30 mark, he has a really bad turnover on a rebound that he just kind of flipped to the guard, and luckily Maryland didn't score off of that. Ware had really been struggling for 27 minutes, and then at some point he got the fast break layup before that Euro step dunk, but they then ran a cross screen for him. And again, that's how you go into the post, is when he's been doing something, you see an advantage, and then it wasn't just a post up, it was action, and we got a foul out of it and got underneath. But I thought that was an interesting play that, you know. And then X's steal. I know we all saw it, but it was just so meaningful. He just went in and ripped it away.
Yeah, he did.
And then took off on the other end. You know, that was like game over. Like, we're going to take it from you. We've been taking it from you for a while now. Now we're going to go put the game away. I thought that was huge.
Yep. Ryan, any other meaningful moments for you that you want to share?
No, I mean, that 15-0 run, I know it's not something anybody missed, but just the ability for Indiana to lock in, and I think the most important part while they were outscoring Maryland was just the defense. I mean, you know, just this whole second half, the defense was so much better. I think it's easy to gloss over that when you're scoring 50 points and a half. It's easy to gloss over how much the defense affects that offense and how much they were able to get out in transition. I think
against
that's
an elite defensive team, too.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely. So that 50
that
points,
explosion.
Yeah. So I just think that the defense is something that many people may have missed watching this game because it was sloppy both ways for a while. But Indiana was really excellent in the second half. And I know Maryland struggles offensively, but they were able to keep them out of the paint, where Maryland does really well. The 3-point shooting is always going to be a struggle for this Maryland team. If there's one team that's uglier than Indiana shooting threes, it's Maryland. And they were real bad. They actually made over 30% today, I think.
They were 9-24.
Yeah, 37. But, you know, I think it was the first half.
I don't think I saw him make one.
First half, they were 4-12, you know.
Oh, wow.
And none of them looked like, they just don't look comfortable shooting. And it looks familiar because we've seen that before.
Yeah. The Jameer Young one was a big shot. I saw that one. I think that was the only one I saw. All right, let's talk numbers, because I think there are some really interesting numbers in this game. And so this segment, Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville, 812-339-3334, or visit jacksonhewitt.com. So a lot of numbers here that are interesting, Coach. I'm sure you're going to point out the 20 fast break points, which is huge. You know, getting 19 points off the bench. Obviously, most of those coming from Xavier Johnson, but, you know, Anthony Leal hitting a three, Anthony Walker, you know, scoring 3 points. Again, just things that we haven't seen. But I tell you what really jumps out to me, you know, looking at this box score, is who led Indiana in field goal attempts. Trey Galloway and Mackenzie Mbako were 1 and 2. Have there been any other games this year where Renew or Ware weren't first or second in field goal attempts? I'd have to look it up, but I bet there haven't been many. And, you know, Renew has 8 field goal attempts, Ware has 8, and Xavier Johnson was right there with 7. So this is a game where the offense was more balanced where you want it. Like, that's what it should look like. Mackenzie Mbako is your NBA-level scorer. He should be getting the most shots on the team and going and getting buckets. Now, maybe in certain matchups, you know, that's different, and you're going to, you know, ride Renew and really feed him, and maybe there's a certain matchup where Galloway is able to go off. But this is more what it should look like, where it's much more balanced between the backcourt, the wings, and the bigs. And, you know, and especially against a good defense, because you're not just going to go beat a good defense by being one-dimensional. And today, it seemed like Indiana, especially in that second half, was able to be multi-dimensional offensively. And whether it's a fast break or in a half court or whatever, they were able to diagnose what was happening and get the ball where it needed to go. And that's more what the shot, you know, balance should look like to me. Coach, thoughts on that, and then other numbers that jumped out to you?
No, I just think when you have multiple ways you can attack a defense, it's better than just keep jamming it into one person. There's nothing wrong with going to your best player, but in a college game, you should have several best players or several players that are, you know, able. We've said that for a few years now. Like, if you have your 3-point shooters, run something for them early. There are ways. Sometimes your superstar doesn't get shots until maybe a lot of shots till a 10 or 12 minute mark, because some coaches will get everyone else going because they know when they need to, they can go to their superstar. They used to do that a lot with Jordan in that darn triangle offense with the Bulls. Like, he would go to everybody for first 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then all of a sudden he'd end up with 35, you know, because you'd go to your player at the end. But I just think that's an important number, and I'll carry over to my number. I don't think the assist number were great. I think it was 14 assists on 31 made baskets. That's not necessarily a great percentage. Neither is the 14-14 assist to turnover. But for me, it's who did the assisting? Xavier Johnson. Big Ten tournament Xavier Johnson. I remember 7, 9, 6, something like that in those three games where they really competed. He was scoring, but he was also looking to get players. And not only that, the hockey assist, I don't know how many he got on those pitch aheads, was very important. But when you have two playmakers who are looking to assist as well as score and not just force up really bad shots in two people in the lane, which Indiana has done a lot of, out of the post and out of the guards, it's like, go make a play, and I'm going to go through three people, and I'm just going to shoot it because that's what we're supposed to do. When you share the sugar, Steve Lavin, share the sugar, you're going to be a better basketball team. And even though it wasn't great numbers, I just think that the mentality was there to get out and go and share the basketball, which is better college offense.
Agreed. Yeah, and to your point, Coach, in the first half, Indiana 6 assists, 9 turnovers, along with only 1 block and 1 steal. In the second half, that was 8 assists, 5 turnovers, 3 blocks, 3 steals. Better decision-making, ball moving more disruptive defense, all the things that this team has to do to win basketball games. And you saw it there in the second half. Ryan, numbers that jump out to you.
Yeah, well, here's a funny one. Indiana points in the paint, 30, Maryland 36. I mean, you know, they got beat in the paint and still won the game. And the reason why is they hit couple threes. I mean, they had 2 fewer threes than Maryland, but they were 14-17 at the line, which is 82%. And you know, Maryland was just 9-10. So they outscored them by 5 there. And what's the final score? 5 points. So yeah. I think that, you know, is right there. And the other thing, Coach, you said about those assists. Well, they scored a lot off of drives. And so you're not gonna get an assist on a drive if you go from the perimeter to the paint. So I think that, you know, that negates some of those assists of moving the ball. But I think if you watch the game, sometimes the box score doesn't always tell the story. I thought the ball moved pretty well for Indiana today.
That's
when they weren't fumbling it. You know, it's, I thought that it actually moved around with a pretty decent pace. And I think the other thing is, Khalil and Malik both had two blocks. So Malik, you know, playing some defense in there as well when he wasn't, you know, hunched over on the ground from the pain in his midsection, we'll call it. But yeah, 32 rebounds to 26 as well. So they're winning the rebound battle more often we've seen the last couple of weeks.
When you're moving the basketball, you might even get more drive ability because you're passing that one more and you get a bad closeout, you drive. You don't get an assist on that.
Nope.
But the mentality of 6-4 from your two lead guards is fantastic. Yep. I want to point out something Jeffrey Wang says in here, and I think it's really key to this Indiana basketball team. And he mentions it about Xavier. He says when Xavier plays as a disciplined player, he can really help this team. Totally agree with that. He just needs to play a bit more disciplined and under control. And Jeffrey, I'd say that for every single player.
Yeah.
Renew doesn't need to try to score between three or four people. Galloway doesn't need to try to spin dribble in the lane and jump up and do certain things. Walker doesn't need to go crazy and shoot. And this team has lacked discipline for most of the year. That's why we're sitting at 16-13 and 8-10. And again, without going any further than that, I think that's a very astute comment. Because when X is disciplined, he is really, really good. But so is every player on the team. And I don't think that every player has been disciplined enough to make enough plays to play 40 minutes of basketball. They've done it in spurts, and that comes, you got to emphasize that and demand it and hold people accountable, and you'll get more of that. I think that's just a really excellent comment.
I mean, stick a pin in that, because that's the story of the season in a lot of ways, you know? So excellent points all around. All right. Coming up here in our final segment, we are going to hand out our game balls, our Hoosier Hustle Award. Then I have a lingering question that I want to run by you guys, and I'm curious how you're going to answer it. And we'll look ahead to what's coming up for Indiana. That's next on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's Thomas Bryant. What's the only thing better than being Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Thomas. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with the Coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips, and we are breaking down Indiana's 5-point comeback win at Maryland today. And it is time now for our game balls, which are presented by our friends Ali and James at Bloom Environmental. And they want to make sure everyone knows about radon, which is a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. According to the EPA, Monroe County and other surrounding counties throughout Indiana are expected to have elevated levels of radon above the action level recommended for mitigation. Contact Bloom Environmental today. Mention Assembly Call and you will get a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. That's bloomenviro.com. If you're here live, our friends from Doing the Work are going to be starting their show very soon if they haven't started it already. So we just wanted to let you know if you're more interested in that. You can certainly go check them out, but all of these shows will be available for archive viewing and on the podcast here as we move forward. But guys, it is time for the game ball. Which is a good chance, I think, probably for us to talk a little bit more about McKenzie Mbako, who probably, you know, had, I'm not sure if a 24-point game where a guy goes 4-for-8 from downtown and has as many big plays as he did has gotten talked about as little on a post-game show as that one has so far. But McKenzie was terrific. I think we all agree he's the game ball.
Yeah.
So I'm curious from you guys, you know, because by the time I started watching the game, I mean, he made that three. He didn't do as much of the scoring down the stretch. That was more Khalil and Trey Galloway. So I'm really curious, you know, from your guys' perspective, you know, what were the things that really stood out about McKenzie today? And coach,
he was confident.
First,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he was confident, and he was looking to shoot when he catched. It's just a big thing for this Indiana team. The offense in the past has been catch, look inside, or like I said earlier, come out for that ball screen. They were catching, ready to shoot, and he really looked like he was hunting shots. That's a term like that sometimes can be a negative term. Oh, they're hunting shots or the heat check.
Yeah, but a good shooter,
you want good shooter, you
yes,
want.
Yes, absolutely.
Steph Curry
absolutely
hunts shots all the time.
Absolutely. And I thought he did that. And here's the thing. When you hit shots like that and you stretch the floor, now that opens up the inside. So he'll go without times of scoring. But you go inside, outside, you play that game, you go to the hot hand and get him two or three shots, and then the defense has to make an adjustment. Now you go inside. It's not all one thing, one way, only with one person. And Indiana benefited from multiple players, X drive and fast break, then some big threes from McKenzie. But his ability to score and then drive, and I really liked his missed dunk because it showed an attitude of going to lane, and I'm going to throw it down like an NBA player. Now, I wish he would have, you know, made it in the first half. But he's been aggressive driving and getting to the foul line. He was fantastic. And sometimes those things don't show up in the stats, that now that the floor is spaced. And we've been talking about spacing for 8 years here in Indiana basketball, and we saw it for about 7 or 8 minutes, 10 minutes of the time you watched, Jared.
Maybe that's why I feel so happy after watching that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I tuned in and this is what it's supposed to look like. Yeah,
what's going on? No, I mean, he had 18 in the second half, Jared. So the fact that you missed a lot of his scoring should tell you what you need to know. He brought them back into it. I mean, a lot of that scoring was early in the second half when Indiana looked beat. I mean, it looked over. And he had two threes in a row at one point to give them a chunk. He drove in, you know, got fouled a couple times, went to the free throw line. He just was active offensively, and it was confident.
Yeah.
It was just confidence, and he was ready to shoot. He was ready to drive, ready to attack. He played all 20 minutes in the second half. I mean, and was plus 15, and in the first half he was minus 5. You know, I just a guy who – It's really funny. They only played 7 people in the second half, and Gabe Cupps got 1 minute. So it was really 6 people. And I think Gabe did he start the second half and got yanked immediately?
Yeah.
I think because he got driven.
Yeah.
And Gabe really has been struggling with the on-ball drives lately. The effort's fine. It's just, you know, guys are just taking advantage of his age, I think, by, you know, getting him to lean one way and go the other and are beating him. So books out on him a little bit. But as far as McKenzie goes, I mean, if you look at his box score and see, he only had 6 points in the first half, 2 of 7 shooting. He did hit 2 threes. And then you look at the second half, it's 18 points, 6 of 8, 2 of 4 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Man. Only 1 turnover. I mean, he was basically perfect from what you needed in the second half. And you're right. Then Trey and Khalil Ware and Xavier closed the show, but he's the guy who brought him back.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think when McKenzie got here, we all assumed, okay, he wants to be a one and done. He straight up said that, and we kind of expected it. Then he kind of struggles, and it's like, well, could this guy benefit from another year in college? And then he goes and has this performance in front of, as you said, 15 NBA scouts. And so, you know, look, I want the best for him. I think if that ends up being what happens, great. But it's just, you know, it's kind of interesting that's kind of been a conversation. But he starts playing more like this, and NBA teams are going to start saying, okay, this is more the guy we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Because that's offense that'll translate.
Yeah. And I think I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, I hope he comes back. I hope he does what's best for him. And honestly, and you know what? Guys in the NBA playing who went to Indiana is good for Indiana. It's free advertising for the program. And when they come back and they work out at Indiana and see their old, you know, teammates and whatever, and it's on social media and gets shared around, that's great for Indiana. And it will be
not
for
as great
a long
as
time.
Having them in uniform. I mean, I'd
but
rather
for
have Jaylen
one more
in uniform,
season versus, you know, and so, yeah, I look, it's great to have them. It'd be great. Look, I would love for he and Ware both to come back. You know what I mean? But yeah, selfishly, but at the same time,
you
want to
run this back?
Yeah. Just those two. Some minor tweaks and changes need to happen. I think
I love the enthusiasm. I love the enthusiasm right after a win. It's great.
Yeah, but I just think that, you know, those guys are, it is a billboard for the program having
those
guys in the NBA.
No, you're right. All right, as we head here down the stretch, Khalil Ware leading the team with 10 game balls, Malik Renu with 8, Mackenzie Mbako with 5, and now let's do our Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, let's talk about my friends at Security Pro 24/7, who provide trusted and reliable security for your event or business. From Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Hustle Award. Coach, I have a feeling I know where you're going with this because I got a text. You sent a text about midway through the game, and you were like, Galloway Hustle Award no matter what. Wasn't that
no,
you?
No, that was me. That was you.
Sorry, I just saw the text come through. Okay. So, Ryan, why don't you lead us off then? Trey Galloway.
Yeah, it was Trey Galloway. Not just the points or whatever, 38 minutes of constant effort from him, as you always get from Trey. It feels like he had a really big tip in at one point off a missed Xavier layup that I think kept Indiana's momentum going. But 12 points, he still is really struggling to shoot 0 of 3 from 3 and 2 of 4 at the free throw line, including a missed front end, I think. But 2 offensive rebounds, 5 rebounds total, 4 assists, only 2 turnovers given how much he had the ball in his hands and 2 steals. It felt like he was out on the break. Even if he wasn't scoring or wasn't the target of a pass, he was the one running the floor first, getting out there every single time. And I have to give it to him. Xavier had a great game, not taking anything away from him, but Trey was just constant energy for 38 minutes, even when things were going bad. And he was guarding, Jameer Young for a large portions of the game. And, you know, Young did score 22, but it felt like a lot of it was forced.
Damn it. I missed the chat where you said, if you agree, I don't need to talk. And then I went to you first.
I said, screenshot it. It's a first. Jeez, I said, man. I don't need to talk.
That's just
You got to keep your head on a swivel, Morris.
That's just terrible court awareness by me. Yeah. It really is.
I mean, oh seriously.
Coach Hustle Award.
Galloway.
Okay.
I'll take Ryan's position. Galloway.
Yeah, I mean, a few words. From what I saw, Galloway, and he, you know, played 38 minutes. And, I think you could certainly make a case for X on a normal day. X probably does get some hardware here on a game like this. But maybe that's also meaningful, you know, is for X to come off the bench, you know, and just be a guy that is there, instrumental in contributing to winning. And that's what Indiana needs from him, you know, here as we come down the stretch. And they continue to need what they're always going to get from Trey Galloway, which is that's the one thing about this season and about Trey Galloway, is even when it kind of felt like a lot of his teammates were a little bit up and down and effort and focus would wane in and out throughout games, that guy has never stopped all season long. And he really seemed to be getting frustrated there for a while. But now, you know, these last two games, it's been rewarded, you know, and his teammates are stepping up and helping him out. And that has been great to see. So lingering question wise, and then we'll get out of here. You know, as we think back and look, I know someone put in the chat like, hey, you know, I want your thoughts on Mike Woodson. We're definitely not going to talk about that during a postgame show and definitely not after a win. We just did an episode called The State of the Program where we kind of laid out our thoughts on that. You know, and look, is what we said in that episode potentially subject to change based on what happens down the stretch? I mean, my life philosophy, you know, it's like, you know, strong beliefs loosely held, you know, I mean, you have to be open-minded to new evidence and to new things that you may learn. You know, and every game is a data point that we're watching. And so I think, you know, watching these last two games, it's been nice to see this team show that they have life. But certainly everything we said in that episode still stands for me. If you want to hear it, you can go back and listen to the episode called The State of the Program, but we're not going to talk about it here.
I'd agree. Just one thing to say is that, you know, you're talking about how it can change depending on what you see. I fully agree. I think if you watch that episode, a lot of our concerns weren't just what we're saying on the floor. It's structural stuff more that won't change no matter what the record is down the stretch. So I think that, you know, just go watch that episode and understand that there are ways that could change, but it's not going to be game to game.
Yeah. Or don't, and just enjoy a win. you know, like, please feel free to enjoy
the win. Those people who are questioning it. Yeah,
yes. Cause winning matters. Road wins matter. This is a good day. Like, anytime you win, I don't care the context of the season, a road win is good. But here's my question to you guys, which is, you know, you think back to the offseason, and no one expected Indiana to be as bad as they've been, right? We all agree on that. But the one thing that we did talk about is this is probably going to look ugly for a while, and it may come around late. Now, by late, we meant more like January. February. So the team was, you know, maybe competing in the Big Ten and hadn't dug as big of a hole. But my question would be, okay, you know, and the other thing that they've dealt with in is X's injury, which is just, you know, no matter what you think of him and his play and how highly you rate it, it has been a wrench that's been thrown into things and has made it harder for this team to build continuity, to build cohesion, all of this stuff. So no question, you know, no matter how you answer this question, it's been worse than we thought it should be and worse than it should have been. But have we been overreacting just a bit to how bad it was and not leaving enough room for this to come together a little bit down the stretch, especially if you get a healthy Xavier Johnson? I'm not saying I agree with this. It's more of a devil's advocate question. But this is something that we talked about before the season started. And so it wouldn't have been shocking to us at that time to say, oh, wow, Indiana's going to have two of their better games here in, you know, late February and March against Wisconsin and Maryland. Now, the rest of the context of what we saw in February certainly would have surprised us. But I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that and how that colors what you're watching here down the stretch.
No. Sorry, Coach. I don't know if you want to take this first because I don't know if it was directed at you.
I was just going to say this. Indiana played probably its second best game and a loss to Kansas without Xavier. And then they won a road game at Michigan. I know Michigan's not that good, but as we said, a road game. So they've proven in December that, yeah, maybe they are not as good without X. I agree that with that totally, but they played differently in that stretch of games. And then when X came back, they didn't play very well. And then he got hurt on that dunk. And then they definitely didn't play well without him, which they could have used him. So all of that can be true.
We also, it's almost like you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, we're also catching teams at the right time, right before they fire a coach at Ohio State and a team that had given up a lot of leads. And then we catch Wisconsin, who's now lost 5 out of 7 and it's fallen from a 2 seed to a 6 seed. And we're playing Maryland, which is a good matchup. And that's just reality. We're happy to win those games. But to me, the answer is no, it doesn't change anything. And if you're now coming to where you are playing the right way with 2 games left, that's too late. And things happen all the time. Lots of teams have had injuries.
Yep. How many teams have we played that are missing their leading scorer this year? It's been like 6 or 7.
You are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
Yep. You've won games and you've lost games, and the style of play and the foundational things, you are what you are. And then if it's not good enough, you got to change it and be better the next year. And you just can't excuse every loss because of this or that. You got to play. My team's on the floor, and my team has to play better when it's on the floor. And you make adjustments if you're, you know, does it suck to not have your best player or your best point guard? Absolutely. But 16-13 is 16-13. That's what our record is. That's what it says next to Indiana.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you, Coach. I doesn't really change a whole lot for me from what we've seen. And for example, we're talking about the Kansas game was the closest they got to a big win this year. And in that game, Trey Galloway scored 28 points. if Xavier Johnson's in that game, Trigall doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. Now, maybe he has a great game, but the chances that he carries the team that way while they're trying to crowbar X into doing the same thing, and you don't know. Maybe they win that game with X, but you just don't know because it's not quantifiable that he always makes the team better. I think over the balance of the season, if he's healthy, he probably does because the defense is better, undoubtedly. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, this team might have, you know, maybe it just took them longer to get together. Well, the problem with that is you just won today against the 50th ranked team in KenPom coming in, and you moved up three spots to 96. Yeah. You had a road win at Maryland, and you moved from 99 to 96. You kind of are who you are. And I think that a lot of people, we've been hearing from everyone, we're like, hey, they're ranked right around 100 in basically every metric, in every, you know, measuring metric that there is. And we've had people, oh, well, the analytics don't tell the whole story. It's like, when they all tell you the same story, it's probably pretty solid. And this is about a 95 to 100 ranked team this year. If you're now at this point going to try and tell me, well, no, they're way better than that. They're just, you know, it just took them a while. If they're that good, why did it take so long? I mean, honestly, if they're so much better than what we've seen, why did it take so long? And the reason why is because they're just missing key things that you have to be able to do to win basketball games now. They're missing just defensive discipline all year long. I mean, they're ranked 110th in defense. You know, you add Xavier Johnson, maybe it bumps you 15 spots, but it's not bumping you into the top 40. You know, offensively, you get Xavier Johnson, you're not moving up 30 spots. You know, he might help you game to game a few times, but he's not. So it's just, the team has talent. We've always known that this team on raw talent is actually kind of loaded. It's the problem is that a lot of the talent's in the front court, and then you don't have consistent perimeter play. And guess what's most important in college basketball these days? Consistent perimeter play. And that's what you're missing. And so you're missing the most important element that makes you good. It's defensively stopping the drive and offensively being able to get into the paint and mix things up with your guards and make shots. And Indiana doesn't do either of those things particularly well on either end. So that's why this team's not been good. And we all know it. We've all watched it. Unfortunately, had to watch every single minute of this season. And while there have been some great moments, and it's been really nice watching some individual guys improve and, you know, prove to the world they are who we originally thought they were, it's still just not enough. And it's okay to say that. And maybe they get it together and go on a miracle run. Teams have done that before. But that they haven't really scored a massive win this season. Beating Wisconsin at home, nice. But they've looked bad lately. Winning at Ohio State and Maryland on the road, nice. But those aren't great teams, you know.
The thing with the Wisconsin win is in a good Indiana season, that's just a ho hum. Yep,
it's just a win. Business. That's like,
but
that's
in
like
this season, being Iowa, it was like, oh my god.
Yeah,
you know, that's the difference.
And that's the thing is, we came on here after that show and we're like, yeah, it's great. They got this win, and you're right. Normally, beating that Wisconsin team is like, all right, hey, they did what they were supposed to do.
Right, maybe beating Wisconsin is a little bit more than a ho-hum, given how much they've beaten us, just to give them some respect.
But a perfect example would be Iowa. Iowa's, you know, middle of the Big Ten, has been good this year at times, and you beat them, and it's kind of like, you beat them at home. That's what you're supposed to do, you know? I think...
And the 16-point deficits are worrisome, too.
It is, and it makes the wins feel like
when's that going to run out? Like, you can't win every game. You get down 16 and play bad for 26 minutes, and then play a heck of a 14 minutes, and then the margins of defeat that have happened with this team too. We want
to
win
losing to Purdue
as many games
thing.
As we can the rest of the year. If they play like they did when Jared watches, we might win two or three more.
But a perfect example is the Purdue game. You know, it's a rivalry game. You never know how those are going to turn out. But to lose the way they have against Purdue, and it's like Purdue's a really good team this year. They're fantastic. They're beating the brakes off a lot of teams. But it's your rival, and to not really be competitive it says a lot about the pride in the program and all of that stuff at the moment it happens. So, but look, if they go to the barn and beat Minnesota and look like they did the second half, we can start having some conversations about this maybe looking different, but you have to get there first. And
play
wins,
consistent basketball.
Yeah, two wins against teams that are struggling doesn't turn the season around. It's nice, and we're happy about it, and I love seeing this program win games, and I'm very glad that there's zero chance that they'll end the regular season at 500 or below, but it's, you know, let's be realistic about what we've seen and hope they build on it. You know, if you build on it, great, but yeah. We'll see.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I asked the question more as devil's advocate because I can imagine someone listening thinking about that, but I'm with you on all the answers that you guys gave there.
Jared, I'll just add one thing. If you want to twist it towards some positive, it does seem like there have been some changes in offense that have gone down the stretch. And so if you want to be optimistic, and we see a few people in there wanting to be optimistic, maybe that's a sign that some conversations are being held about style of play and other things that have been deficiencies within this program. I could maybe find that in the last play, the last three or four, with some of the offense, the transition, the freedom to catch and shoot. We don't know if that is happening behind the scenes, or that's just guys saying, hey, we are 14 and 13 seasons over. We're just going to go play. And they played a little more free. That could be that too. We don't know. It's better. But if you wanted to find some positives in that question, that is it coming together? Maybe there is just some movement towards trying to do some better things that are more collegiate.
I hope so.
I could buy that. I could actually buy that.
I think that, you know, the negativity around the program has got people thinking that like our preference is to do something else. It's like, no, our preference is for Mike Woodson to turn this around and be the guy. Like, that's the preference. I don't want to do another.
That would be ideal.
Yes. Yeah, that's what we want. We want this to look different. Like, that's what we're pushing. We're not pushing to get rid of another coach. Nobody wants that.
But we can't blindly follow a guy because we like him because he played.
We're objectively telling you what we're seeing. And
nor are we rooting for our own takes. Let me say we were wrong.
I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. Like I don't think any of us can be accused of being super hard-headed when it comes to admitting we're wrong. I think we all have. I mean, I'm probably the worst, but I admit it. I've long admitted when I was wrong.
I'm going to defend all of us. I'm going to defend all of us because I don't know that it's wrong. Because if Woodson's back and things get better, then he's going to. It has to be different. I don't really see where you could do the same thing and be successful. And then that's a sign of growth within the coaching staff too. That okay, we've tried this. We believed in it hard. I resisted change, but man, I had to change. And then now we're playing better down the stretch, and we're going to carry that over to player development and all the other things. If it works out, I think there has to be some change because what we've seen, other than the four seed year, hasn't really been. You know, we're getting a little macro now, but yeah, I can buy that maybe there's some changes within the players, within the coaching staff, and that's why recently it's looked better in halves. If it played a full game, the next couple games, and three or three quarters of a game, and it starts growing that way, maybe some internal things have changed for the better.
All right, coming up, Indiana heads to the barn, Williams Arena, on Wednesday to face Minnesota, a Minnesota team that, Coach, you shook your head about them making the NCAA tournament. I need to check my bracketology stuff, but they have been playing better, and they've been winning games. Ben Johnson has done a nice job there. You know, Minnesota was, picked 14th by everybody in the preseason. Maybe Penn State was down there too, but Minnesota has certainly been better than people thought. Then we'll have Assembly Call Radio on Thursday, assuming there are no conflicts that I'm kind of spacing on right now. And then IU Michigan State to round out the regular season next weekend. So that's what's coming up. I think if Indiana can win one of these next two games, we can start having NIT conversations and start discussing what that might mean. Not going to do it today, but if they beat Minnesota, we'll probably talk about that Thursday on Assembly Call Radio and what will be at stake for this team and this program with the Big Ten tournament coming up. All right, you're listening to the Assembly Call. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel and use the promo code HOME23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, time for last call. Coach, you first.
Yeah, congratulations to the staff and to the players. You know, when you have a season with a lot of adversity, it's just really hard to keep going, and I do think sometimes it's give them credit for saying, what the heck, we're going to go out and play some basketball. And my encouragement to the team is let's play basketball for more than just 16 minutes, and let's not get down or need a fire alarm to, you know, stop a momentum or whatever else you want to say. But let's keep winning. And winning is what Indiana basketball is all about. And we can get to 17 and 18, and that's not where Indiana basketball should be, and that's disappointing for me. But it's a lot better than ending the year at 16. And it's a lot more fun talking to y'all, 500 and some people on a Sunday afternoon when we win. So this was a good 16 minutes, a great 16 minutes of basketball, I think. Great. We can almost say that. But we needed it after a really questionable 24 minutes of basketball to get down 16 to a team like Maryland. Let's even that out, and let's keep winning and have a few more post games before we go into the off season.
Well said, Coach. Ryan, last call.
Yeah, look, happy with a win on the road against Maryland. I mean, look, happy with a road win anytime in the Big Ten. Happy with a winning streak for the first time since December. Hey, get excited. Go enjoy the rest of your day with this one. Let's see what this team does moving forward. Maybe there's been a shift, and maybe there's been maybe the coaching staff's being a little looser and just letting these guys play. I don't know, but there it feels like the last two games there have been long stretches of play that have looked different than we've seen the rest of throughout February. So let's see where this goes. I mean, I want this team to go on a run. I don't want to miss another NCAA tournament. Go win the Big Ten championship. You have the talent to do it. Go win it. You know, go win the tournament. India's never done that. Become the first to do that and get into the tournament. Go do that. Show that what you can do. And today was a show what you can do game. And that last 16 minutes, man, they showed it can be a really good basketball team when they just play basketball and do the things that winning teams do. So stop thinking and just play is what I would say over the next couple of games, because you got nothing to lose. Everybody has buried this team. Go play. You know, there's nothing to lose.
Yep. Excellent last two games for Indiana. Excellent results. Not always excellent basketball, but excellent results. So excited to see them come back today and do what we've been asking about, which is, you know, show that this really matters. Show that, you know, that there's something there, that, you know, you're getting beaten by Maryland and you're like, no, enough's enough. We're going to go out and play. And whether it's the players just saying, screw it, we're just going to play ball, you know, credit to Mike Woodson. For either instilling that in them or not stopping it when they start playing that way. And I think with some of the decisions that have been made offensively, some of the different things you're seeing Indiana run, it does seem like some adjustments have been made, which has happened with this program down the stretch the last couple of seasons. So I really like what we've seen overall the last two games. Now, hopefully against Minnesota and Michigan State, this team is ready to continue doing that, pick up one or two more wins, get a little momentum heading into the Big Ten tournament, and then who knows. But, you know, hey, we try to come here on the postgame show, meet this team where it's at, and on a day like today, go up on the road, get down, beat a really good defensive Maryland team. It's a good day for Indiana, good day for these Hoosiers, and hopefully they can build on it moving forward. Two wins in a row. Let's see now what they can do down the stretch. All right, that is going to do it for us. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to assemblycall.com and subscribe to our email newsletter on Substack. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday after IU Minnesota. Until then.
Take it from me, Anthony Leal. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
I think they've gotten enough show.
And there it is. The new, we had to retire the old one. The old one is done. And if you don't know the backstory behind,
I think they've gotten enough show.
Go listen to the end of the IU Wisconsin game, because those moments have to happen organically.
That's not what it was. It was from the 2-hour State of the Program show.
Oh, it was from the State of the Program. Yeah. You're right. It was State of the Program.
After show. 2 hours, you guys had gotten enough show. I'm sorry.
That's awesome. I love winning. That's fun.
Yeah.
That is fun. All right, Coach.
Now we get to go to the barn. Everybody's favorite. What time's tip off of that?
Okay, I will say though, some of the bad feelings about the barn are fading a little bit. Like, we've had some better performances there.
TJD and Race kind of exercised some of those over the last couple of years, I think.
They certainly helped.
That Ben Johnson, 8 o'clock. He's doing a good job up there.
Late start.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern.
9 Eastern.
Yeah, Ben's doing a good job. I've been impressed.
They have the 361st worst non-conference strength of schedule, and they're 18-11. Like, they're not making it. They're 77th. Indiana's got to win the tournament. They're
105th
in the net. Well, I got a question on Delphi Brackets after the win. What does Indiana need to do to make the tournament? Win the Big Ten tournament. I hate saying that. Yep. But
yeah, no, I mean, you beat Maryland, who I think was 50th in KenPom, and you moved on the road. You won that on the road, and you went from 99 to 96. Like, you know, it just tells you that how little those wins are worth at this point. You've got to beat Purdue. You've got to beat, you know, you have to beat the top teams on your schedule, or you're not going to, it's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go at, and then you look at the last two, it's like you said, coaches, Maryland and Michigan State. It's not a top 10 KenPom team, you know, or top 10 metric team that's going to give you a huge jump. It's really,
I mean,
not.
If you haven't beaten tournament teams, why would you be in the tournament?
Exactly.
That's the thing that matters.
I mean, there, you know,
beat other tournament teams.
I didn't realize the offense and defense were so lowly, both so lowly ranked. I knew they were low, but I didn't know they were over 100, and offense moved up to 91. And the defense is at 110. I mean,
yeah, although, you know, the way they played offense in the second half, that was like top 20 level stuff. You know, that was a great stretch. But the key for this team, as always, is being able to back it up and do it. Yeah.
They do have the game, were they 13th strength of schedule on the season?
Indiana?
Yeah, I think so. So I have a question, guys. Here's an interesting question. Would you say that Indiana should always schedule like they did this year, or should they maybe take one of those tough games out? And maybe go with a 150 team or something. Or do you
think
so
much
go...
of it depends on the team that you have back? And it's there's a or lot that goes into that.
But I mean, you know, UConn, Kansas, Auburn last year.
It would have been better this year for us to be playing teams more in the 25 to 40 range as opposed to like top 10 level teams. But, you know,
especially when
those,
they played them.
But some of those games were scheduled 2 years out, you know, and you're thinking, okay, Mike Woodson's, but that's why there's such frustration in year three. Because you should be hitting a peak and hitting a crescendo, not bottoming out. That anyway, that's, and we talked about that a lot.
Here,
so I think the scheduling question.
I'm just wondering about the scheduling, like in general. Yeah. Would you like them to pick three top 10-ish teams, or do you want them to go with like aim for maybe one or two, and then just not have the 350 level team or 300 level teams, but have some mid-range teams?
Here's the thing: Michigan State's making the tournament. They have 12 losses. Why? They have the 20th best non-conference schedule. Sometimes I think they overschedule for their teams.
Yeah.
And then they rack up some losses to some good teams, but they're going to make the tournament this year. Now, they're at a level of a program. You could argue they're at a level, and
they
you
always
know,
get
blah, 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 that Indiana's not, right? It's just, we're talking, you want to make the tournament. You can't be in the 200s and 300s unless you win the big games. And you got to play the big games non-conference in order to do that. It's just
It wasn't a leading question.
Nebraska's running Jeopardy. Northwestern could be in Jeopardy this year, and they've had some really big wins. Why? They didn't schedule anybody.
Yeah.
So,
and it wasn't a leading question. I'm genuinely curious what you guys think the strategy should be, because it changed. Because every school, every conference seems to have a different philosophy on it. And I was just wondering, is it best to be somewhere in the middle or way more on the extreme of playing the toughest teams side of it? I guess the other thing is you got to be competitive in those games against the good teams.
That's
because if you get blown out, it doesn't help you at all.
Because we were all excited when those games were scheduled. But if we
all you gotta do is have a good
chance, you're gonna get boat raced in all of them. Okay, well maybe we don't.
But here, here's the other thing:
boat race by your rival twice doesn't help either. You know,
right?
You play Purdue, play Purdue close, maybe it helps you.
You got to also play the teams that are the seven that aren't tough teams. You got to play them above expectations. Yep. And again, that goes back to the Xavier Johnson conversation. The first six games, Indiana didn't play above even near expectations with Xavier Johnson at full health.
Yep.
Some of those were rough.
I thought Indiana's schedule was really good this year because it had really top and it had some good mid and it had a couple easy ones. But boy, Indiana didn't play well at all in the non-conference against
anybody.
They
barely beat the bad teams, got blown out by the good teams. They needed one of those.
And you lose competitively, it's better to – I mean, Michigan State goes into Purdue and loses by six and moves up two spots in the metrics.
Yeah,
because you played the top team very competitively. You were expected to get beat by 14. You went in there beat by six. Now you move up. So
I'm
not afraid of
like,
scheduling.
I've heard people, you know, I get this all the time. Well, margin victory shouldn't matter. It's like, well, it does. So, you know, I mean, you got to plan for that. Whether that's right or not, or whether it should just be win loss or whatever, like, you know, it matters. So go play like it matters. I mean, doesn't make a difference.
All right, gents, let's get on with our Sunday.